Morning, everyone. I count it a great privilege to share with you this morning, and I so appreciate the word of the Lord. Sometimes you're down there wondering, Lord, did I get a word from you? And then he kind of says, yes, you did, as he prophesies different things you're going to share in your message. And I wanted to share about the new, that thought of coming into the new. Right, and the title of my message is Flowing with the New, the new things that God wants to do. And it's remarkable in Scripture when you look through it and you examine all the new things that God talks about that he wants to bring his people into. All right, we know that he was bringing Israel into a new land, into a land of promise. But along the way, he still did new things. In fact, every single day, God said, I have something new for you. They had to go out and do that searching to bring in the new manna every day. And they did that for 40 years. The old wasn't good enough. You know, and of course, that was the message to us that we have to always be seeking the new from the Lord, to live by every word that proceeds from him. The new covenant, right? The old wasn't good enough, so he made something new. I've often thought about that. Lord, you went to all the trouble of making this old covenant, and then you said, okay, here's a new one. But it's just that thought. He has new things. We cannot settle for what he's done, but there's something new that he's bringing us into. Paul said that when we come to Christ, we're entering the new and the living way. There's a new nature that he's birthing within us because the old nature we're with definitely isn't good enough. There's new tongues he wants to fill us with. There's new wine, as he's spoken about this morning, that he wants us to flow in. There's new songs that he wants us to experience on this life. And you know, I think it's so remarkable that he wants to birth experiences in us that we'll sing about in heaven for all eternity. I want to sing those songs in heaven. I don't want there to be a lot of songs in heaven that I don't know about because I didn't take the trouble to experience them or to allow God to bring me into those experiences. He wants to birth those new things. Of course, he's bringing a new heavens and a new earth. And then he finishes out his wonderful book to us in Revelation. Revelation 21 and verse 5, he says, behold, I make all things new. And so I just get the sense that God wants, he so longs and desires to bring us in to newness. As individuals, as churches, as a fellowship, he has fresh things, fresh experiences, fresh anointings, fresh victories, all those things associated with coming into our inheritance. But there's also the thought that we have to learn to flow with the new as it comes, as he brings us. And, you know, Pastor Holmes was sharing about Israel entering their inheritance, and they were entering something totally new, that new generation. In Joshua 3 and verse 4, Israel was given the commandment to keep their eyes upon the ark. The ark would go before them, and the Lord would lead them because they didn't know where they were to go, because he says, you have not passed this way before. You're coming into something totally new. And we've been hearing about these two generations. In the convention, the old generation had trouble flowing with the new things that God wanted to do, and they, because of that, they could not enter in. They perished in the wilderness. But the new generation was able to enter in. And, you know, there's that battle within us of comparing the old, what we're comfortable with, what we've settled in, with the new. And when we do that, the old always wins because we're comfortable with it. There's not the battle. There's not the what's involved with accepting the new. But the new generation, they just kept their eyes on the ark as it led them into the land. And God wants to do that within us. Now, Jesus shared two parables or illustrations to teach his disciples this concept. And maybe we can read that together. In Luke 5, verses 36 through 39, I'm going to read this from the ESV. I like how some of the language that's used here. And he told them a parable saying, no one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking the old, desires the new, because he'll say the old was better. And so Jesus gives us these two examples to illustrate a truth. One of them is a garment, and the other is a vessel to contain new wine. Now, back in the Old Testament, when the Lord was describing the priestly garments, he said this in Exodus 28, verse 2. He said that those garments were to be for glory and for beauty. And as a church, we are called to be kings and priests. We're to wear those priestly garments, and the Lord desires our garments to be a clothing of his glory and his beauty upon us. It speaks of entering into new truths on our journey as we keep our eyes upon him. But one of the key elements he's bringing out in this parable is that thought of change. That thought of change. It's one of the qualities of a new garment, right? We know that we have to be thoughtful and mindful of a new garment for how it's going to react for things if we wash it and so forth. How many of us have gotten a nice fresh garment, it fits perfectly, and then we mistakenly put it on high in the dryer, and then it doesn't fit perfectly. You know, you get a sweater that's up to here now, and we're a little disappointed. But, you know, the Lord is bringing out this concept of change, that new garment, there's that change that's associated with it. And God is looking for that in us in the positive sense, that ability that we can change and flow with the new. Now, the thought of changing and the ability to change is very important to the Lord. In Psalm 55 and verse 19, David's writing this psalm, and he said, God will give ear to the humble, or will give ear and humble them, speaking of the wicked. And he who is enthroned from of old, because they do not change and do not fear God. Now, he's talking about the wicked, and he's talking about a specific person he used to walk with, who used to love the Lord and walk in his ways. But here he's describing the life of this man, and he says, because he did not change, he did not fear God. And David's lamenting over someone who used to be his friend. It says they used to have sweet fellowship together as we walked into the house of the Lord. But then there was a division. God was with David, and David went on. He followed the ark where the Lord was leading him. But this man, it was as if he had that experience with God, but then change stopped taking place. He took his eyes off the ark, and when you do that, you go your own way, and there's the separation. And David in this psalm is lamenting of that. Of course, when you stop going forward, usually you don't stay in the same place. You go backwards. And so in the context of garments, is God is desiring to come to his people and to do something new. Right? He did this in the first coming. He wanted to do something new in the midst of Israel, but they had become very set in their ways. There wasn't an element of change, at least in the majority of the religious leaders and so forth. They were like an old garment. They were set, and there was no change that could take place. Now, there's an important idea here is that it's not necessarily the age of the garments. It's that thought of the preservation of the newness. I want to illustrate that with a verse in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 4, because we see Israel traveling in the wilderness, and the Lord did a remarkable miracle in their midst. It said in Deuteronomy 8, 4, it says, your clothing will not wear out on you, your foot shall not swell these 40 years. When they were in their journey, God did something in their natural clothing that it never wore out. It was always new. It was always fresh. I don't know if the ladies would appreciate wearing the same outfit for 40 years. As a man, I probably wouldn't mind that. It takes all the decision-making process in the morning. It's my one outfit. But you know, for Israel, God preserved their garments. They were fresh and new their whole journey. And that's what he wants to do in us and in our lives. Preserve that flexibility, that ability to change as we walk with him, that continual softness to receive every word that he's speaking to us. It also says something else. Back in Luke 5 and verse 36, it says that peace from the new will not match the old. The peace from the new garment won't match up with the old garment, won't line up. In the King James, it says they can't agree together. In the Greek word, that thought, it means to be harmonious and in one accord. And it's actually where we got our English word symphony, where many different instruments are able to all play together to make one beautiful sound, beautiful music as they flow together. But if one of those instruments is out of tune, or even worse, is playing their own tune while everyone else is playing something, right, it can sound pretty terrible. In fact, I don't think I've ever been to a concert where all the instruments are playing that beautiful music, except one, and he's off playing a different song. That just wouldn't work. But I wonder how many in the body of Christ are playing their own tune, playing their own music. It causes a lot of discord, and it can't flow with the new. Now, the other example that Christ gave was pouring new wine into old wineskins. And of course, one of the characteristics of new wine is that it expands. As the fermentation process takes place, it creates a lot of pressure. Someone once told us how their family used to like to make fresh grape juice, and they would bottle the grape juice, and they said, but every once in a while, they'd hear an explosion out back where they were storing the bottles, and that's because one of the bottles started to ferment before they could get to it and drink it and so forth. And back in Jesus' day, you know, it was that same concept. They would put the new wine, but they had to put it in new skins, you know, new bottles made out of animal skins, probably goat, and because the new skin was very flexible. It could expand and receive that change of pressure. And actually, the change takes place in this fermentation process at the molecular level. There's a transformation. The glucose is breaking down and it releases carbon dioxide gas and creates this pressure that's stretching out the skin. But that's the beauty of what Christ wants to do in us with the new wine. You know, yes, the new wine is a wonderful experience, but he's releasing it to change us down to the smallest fiber in our being. He wants to transform us. As it says in Isaiah 28, verse 10, he wants to meet with us and change us precept by precept, line by line, here a little bit, there a little bit. And each time we meet with the Lord and we humble ourselves, we submit to that process of transformation. We're changed into his image. Sometimes it's just little changes here and there we submit to him. Other times it can be great pressure that we go through. Paul described a season of ministry in one of his trips to Asia Minor. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 10, where he said, we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we even despaired of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we wouldn't trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Yet Paul was going through some very intense experiences, great pressure, in order to birth those churches. And he even wondered, am I going to make it out of this trial? probably part of him would be happy for that to take place. We know he had that struggle he shared, right? That part of him wanted to go off and be delivered of that, but yet he knew he had to remain for the sake of his spiritual children. So he went through that pressure for them, but it was also to birth an experience in the church and release something new in their midst. And so he went through that great pressure as that new wine was being produced and poured out. I'm sure many of you in leadership positions or in positions of responsibility in Zion are experiencing this in a measure. It's not that we're bursting at the seams with people, but, you know, that's a different problem that we believe will come later on, but it's that we're bursting with responsibilities, open doors, more doors than we can even go through, right? Responsibilities coming upon us, and there's great pressure in that as we're trying to meet the need in different places in the nations and so forth, and we feel that pressure. We feel pressed out of measure. But God is doing something. He's working. He's producing something in our lives, bringing about a transformative process. But we come back to that thought of the new wineskins, understanding that those new skins were flexible. That's why they always had to have the new skins available, because they can flow with the changes in that process. But the enemy of that process is inflexibility, right? Is the old wine, the old wine skins. And the thought there is that they eventually became dried out. They would lose their moisture and become stiff, and they couldn't flex and handle the pressure. They would burst eventually. And as we mentioned with the garments, the problem is not our age in that sense, the age or longevity, but it's that God can sustain us in that experience of new life. He can keep us where we're soft and flexible with him, but the problem comes with that within our heart, a little hardness starts to creep in, and it affects our flexibility. And over time, it can cause us to bring us to that point where we can't receive or flow with the new things he wants to bring and the pressure that comes with that. Most of the time, this is dealing with issues of the heart, issues that come within our attitudes, our responses, especially concerning our relationships with other people. You know, a good friend of ours was having a medical problem, which was unusual because he's a very healthy person. He eats well and exercises and so forth. I don't believe he had high cholesterol, but he started having difficulty breathing, shortness of breath, and so forth. And so he went and got it checked out. And to his surprise, he found that he was having heart trouble, even though there was no sign of it beforehand. But he found that it was because of an unusual condition. It turns out his liver was producing a little protein, and that protein was traveling through his bloodstream to his heart. And when it reached his heart, it was causing his heart to physically become hard. Just that little protein, as soon as it hit his heart, it made him hard, made his heart physically hard. So his arteries were hardening. It was difficult for him to pump blood and so forth. So he had to go to a specialist, and he found that they had developed a new medication that specifically neutralizes that protein that the liver develops. And he's doing okay now because of that. But, you know, that really struck me when I heard that. The power of small things. That if they remain, if we allow those things to remain, it can harden us. You know, even small attitudes, small problems. You know, we heard in the prophetic word, you know, if you have an issue, drop those things that are important and deal with that issue, because in the kingdom of God, that is the most important issue, because it allows us to keep our hearts soft and flexible so that we can flow with God. We can do great things for God, great works, but if our heart becomes inflexible, our days are numbered in flowing with the new things He wants to do in us. He wants to bring and produce in our lives. I remember one of the messages Pastor Daniel Karam, he actually shared it at convention several years ago, but it kind of stuck with me, that he said the Lord spoke to him saying, this is how you can identify if you have one of those little issues in your heart. He said, if someone enters the room and you have something just rises up in your heart concerning them and you have trouble speaking to them or relating to them, well, there might be something you need to go to the heart specialist, the heavenly heart specialist, and get it checked out. Because you might not even have realized there's a little protein being developed in your spiritual heart that's bringing hardness because of one little attitude that we've allowed to remain. And you know, sometimes we think, well, that person just kind of is frustrating. And how many of us have been around frustrating people? Probably we can all raise our hand, I'm sure. And we're there, you know, we have them there. Or probably in your churches, you know where you're going home to. But in one sense, the people we relate with, that doesn't concern the Lord. He's concerned with us and with our heart and the state of our heart. He desires that we stay in that position of freshness, softness, newness. As Israel journeyed the whole 40 years, their clothing was kept fresh, soft, and new. But it speaks of the condition that he wants to keep our heart in. And it's so important that we address these issues because they can limit us. They can limit the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we think of the disciples on the day of Pentecost. The new wine didn't flow until after those 10 days in the upper room when they were coming together. Right, I think it started off maybe not so much together, but then by the end of those 10 days, they were in one accord. They had made things right. They were flowing together in unity. And on the day of Pentecost, they were in one accord. And the wind blew and the new wine poured out. And so, you know, there may be a time where the Lord's calling us, you know, separate unto me, so that I can do a work. You know, he's the best heart surgeon around, and he doesn't leave any scars. It's not that traumatic. It might seem like it at the time, but he's so good to work and to change us, to transform us. That's the cry of our heart, because it's going to bring a release. We'll flow with the new things that God wants to do, that he's going to do. The question is, are we going to flow with them? I was surprised in Pastor Wallace's sermon, he shared the same story I wanted to share about the Hebrides revival. And, you know, it was a revival that took place in the 40s and 50s on these little islands off the coast of Scotland. And you probably wouldn't even have considered them except the story of this revival that was so remarkable. And you know, Pastor Wallace shared about these two ladies. They just felt the burden to pray. They were infirm. One was blind, and they couldn't go to church. So they just said, Lord, use us in prayer. And they got the burden for revival in their islands. And so they shared it with their pastor, and their pastor received the burden, and the pastor called a prayer meeting. And it was just a few people in the prayer meeting, but there was a young man there. And as they were praying, he stood up and he read Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4, right? The familiar verses to us. He read, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. And he closed his Bible. And he said to everyone present, you know, it seems so silly. Actually, he used the word humbug, but I didn't think that would translate very well, right? Basically, he said, it seems so pointless for us to be praying and crying out to the Lord for revival if we are not rightly related to the Lord in our own lives. And so he just lifted his hands to the Lord and said, Lord, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? Because he wanted to flow in this revival that they sensed God wanted to bring upon their islands. But he didn't get any farther than that prayer because the Lord met him. He fell upon his knees and repentance started to come upon him and he cried out to God. And that was the beginning of that move of God in those islands of the Hebrides. And, you know, that paved the way for the revival to flow to those islands. And it's said that even today, they still feel the effect of that revival in those islands. It's a bit separated from the mainland, and it kind of preserved a bit of the work of God there. There's still a sense of godliness and holiness there, which is saying a lot considering the spiritual state of the rest of Europe. But it started with that cry, that invitation, for the Lord to come in and work on the state of his heart. Lord, is there any little thing that would keep me from flowing with the new? He wanted to flow with that new thing. I just wanted to close with this familiar but precious verse in Isaiah 54. Verses 1 through 3. All right, this is where we are. This is the cry of our hearts. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing, cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. That's our desire. That's the cry of our heart. But yet, as we compare it to Jesus' words with us, we realize there's an involvement. There's a spiritual state we have to keep at as Israel in the wilderness. That continual state of softness, of flexibility. And it's kind of that continual thing like the manna that every day, Lord, keep me soft. Lord, is there anything? An examination of ourselves. Lord, I want to be flexible. Because the call of God upon us, upon our fellowship, is to stretch forth. It's expansion. It's enlargement. To receive more. But if we're going to flow with that, we need those spiritual garments that are flexible, that are new. And if God could renew Israel's garments every day so that they never wore out, they were always made new, he can do that in us. We can walk with him in that way. We can be made new. And in our hearts, we can have that softness, that flexibility to receive the new wine, to receive and withstand and hold that pressure that God is going to bring as that new wine is developed within us, but it is going to do something wonderful. It's going to do something powerful. And we will have something substantial to pour out to the nations as we become new wineskins. And so let's cry out to the Lord with that young man. Lord, bring a renewal. Touch those areas in my heart. If there's anything inflexible, bring a softness. Make it new. Reveal any issues in relationships, any little proteins that are going to come and affect me in that way. Renew me so that I can receive the fullness of the new wine of your Spirit. Father, we ask that you would do that in Jesus' name. Lord, we open our hearts to you and cry out to you that you would bring a freshness, a renewal, a regeneration, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God who can soften, who can make us like a little child in newness. Lord, would you cause our walk to be as the children of Israel, that every day you would bring that renewal and that freshening in our lives and in our hearts. Prepare us to flow in the new wine, in the new ways you want to move in our lives, in our churches, in the fellowship, and in the earth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.